You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend. And join us today is Diane Medina and Patty Tiscareño, and they're here with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. Of course, Rio Grande Cancer Foundation is no stranger here in the El Paso area. They've been helping a lot of people. Not just the patients themselves, but also the caregivers, family, loved ones. And Diane and Patty are going to talk a little bit about what's going on with them and also the fact that we recognize October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but every month and every day, of course, is something that we remember because cancer doesn't just pick a particular month. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start, first of all, with you, Patty. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and because you've been with a cancer association for a while now.
I have.
Foundation, excuse me.
No problem. I am 25 years at the helm of the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. I'm so proud of our organization. We're a local. We're homegrown. We are governed by a local board. Everything about us talks to the individual needs of the people who are going through cancer. And you really framed it nicely, Louis, in that, you know, cancer doesn't affect just the patient. It's something that affects the family members, your colleagues at work. And so, you know, our services and the things that we do are geared towards the cancer survivor and their network. Because the National Cancer Institute defines a survivor from the moment of diagnosis until the end of their life. And because so many other people, like caregivers, are also considered to be survivors, you know, that really opens up the spectrum of the number of people that you can help or assist through the cancer journey.
I know when I was growing up, you know, as a kid, we would watch a movie, and it seems like clockwork, somebody would light up a cigarette and start smoking, and one cigarette after another, and then we started hearing about lung cancer. But for so many people, it seems like that's the only kind of cancer you get, lung and then breast cancer. But as you showed here by all the brochures you brought, is the fact that cancer affects all of us in a different way.
You know, I will segue to Diane in a moment, but I think you're exactly right. 25 years ago when I started at the foundation, the predominant cancers were breast, prostate cancer. But, Louis, they were people over 65. They were the old population. My mother died of ovarian cancer, which was at that time an older woman's disease. And I think Diane can attest to the people that she sees come in the office. It's not just breast cancer anymore, is it, Diane?
No, it's not. You see a lot of different cancers like ovarian and cervical and endometrial. Prostate cancer is climbing. It's not just breast cancer anymore. And you see, what fascinates me is actually, and not in a good way, but you see a lot more of the younger population with testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, prostate, I've seen it more in older men, but testicular is getting a lot of the 20-year-olds. I mean, kids that are my son's age, you know, so you kind of, it opens up your eyes to make everybody more aware. Mm-hmm. You know, women are always told, especially now in October, to, you know, to check yourself. You know, I tell my sons all the time, you need to check yourself too. You know, and they think it's a joke, but I see it every day. I see their ages, and I think that could be my kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and you brought up a great point about women need to check themselves, all of us. But for so long, sometimes, because of, depending on your culture, it was taboo if mm-hmm. you were to touch yourself or be doing something like that. That was not for you to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How do you break that?
I think it starts, in my opinion, it starts at a very young age. You have to be very open-minded in the sense of talking to your family, your kids. I think that's where it starts, in the home. You need to be aware of what you're looking for, what is normal, what isn't, and just letting them know it's okay. If there's something wrong, don't be afraid to say something. Go get it checked out. It's better to catch it early and find out what it is. It may not be anything at all.
Yeah.
But I think it's just communication.
Diane or Patty, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we hear, and particularly from, I remember my grandmother always saying, I'm going to die anyway. Might as well enjoy life. Mm-hmm. So they would eat what they weren't supposed to eat or do what they weren't supposed to do. But at the same time, also, they would say, well, I'm not going to the doctor because he's going to tell me I have this, and I'd rather not hear it.
You know, we learned a great deal about that particular excuse during COVID, because cancer did not stop during COVID. And yet, so many of the oncologists with whom we work were saying, why aren't you here for your treatment? Why aren't you coming in? Well, there were a couple of reasons. Number one, this is an immunocompromised population. They don't want to be out where there's any kind of COVID or any kind of disease that could impact them negatively. And secondly, I think it was a pretty handy excuse to say, well, I can't get in because they're not scheduling elective surgeries, or they're not scheduling these appointments because of all the domino effect of COVID and people, locations, et cetera. So we have gotten very lackadaisical about preventative medicine over the last year. And I really feel like COVID was a big, big culprit in that respect, because we have gotten, women in particular, have gotten very good about knowing everything pink, everything October, get your mammogram, get your bone density test, make sure that you are doing your pap smears, all of the things that we women do. But I think the big part of it is that men, and I love men. Men are some of my favorite people. But they are a little less, how should we say, diligent about their own health. So we really wanted today to talk a little bit, too, about November. Because in November, we celebrate or recognize, and I hate to use the word celebrate, because we celebrate life. And anybody who's gone through any kind of journey with health and gets on the other end is really should be celebrating. But, you know, men need to be aware, like Diane was saying about her son. Testicular cancer affects young men from 18 to 35. So who are we talking to here? Coaches. If you're a coach of a team, talk to your team. Locker room conversations about checking for any abnormalities, any pain, any swelling of that type. Those are important messages for us to get to this generation of young people. I don't think my generation or Diane's generation is fearful like our grandmothers were. It was culturally taboo. You didn't get a pap smear. That was just not thought of. But we have evolved. And we're at a point now where our generation and the ones, you know, we're going to take advantage of everything that's out there for us to prevent. Because you launched on a really valid point, and that was our ancestors got up with the sun, they went to bed, they didn't have electricity, they grew their own food, they raised kids to work on the farm, right? All of these kinds of things that were of the earth and a little less toxic. Well, we fast forward to our time in life, and everything we eat is processed. Everything we ingest is smoggish. Everything that we're exposed to is carcinogenic. And this is stuff that we have created in order, I guess, to call us progressive. We've moved forward in life. We've made life easier. I don't have to harvest the or kill the chicken in the yard. I can just pop in a microwave chicken that I picked up. So I think a lot of it has to do with our mentality, where we are in our fast-paced technological lives. And I would invite, and I'm often applauding a throwback to some of the stuff that I see young people doing now, like gardening. My granddaughter goes to Loretto. They have a garden out the back, and the children learn about that kind of thing and what the benefits of eating and where it comes from. It doesn't just come off the supermarket shelf. Did you know that?
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
thank
carrots.
You.
I have to tell you, the other day I picked up my granddaughter Maddie, and she brought me a carrot from the yard, and it was pitiful. It was brown and kind of, and all I could think of was Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind, you know, in that dramatic scene. And I told her, with God as my witness, I will never be hungry again. I got nothing. No response. Didn't know what I was talking about.
What are you talking about, Grandma?
Yeah, Grandma, what's the matter with you? You're old.
So, Diane, tell me a little bit about, because, you know, Patty was talking about her granddaughter, and you've talked about your sons. What do you tell the younger generation? Because I'm sure that, you know, your sons talk about what kids say at school. Well, not everything, but at the same time, they want to say, "Mom, that's not for me," or "That's embarrassing. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that." How do you get that across to them?
Well, me personally, I've always been very straightforward and very open with my children since they were young. I never really sugarcoated a lot of things for them. So, you know, I've always allowed them that open door type of thing. Like, you know, they can come and talk to me about things. You read your children, you kind of know when something's wrong. So I kind of try to ask them the right questions. Even if they're kind of unsure of what to say to me, or should I really tell my mom what's going on, or if this and this and that happened, I give them scenarios pretty much. But it kind of opens up that pathway for them to come later on and say, "Hey, Mom, can we talk?" Mm-hmm. And then they go ahead and, you know, we usually go for a drive or go for ice cream, whatever it was at that time, and they just talk. I didn't say anything. There was no judgment. They just talked. And from there, if they asked my opinion, I would give my opinion, and then I would, you know, let them know what to do. My boys are in college now, so they still come to me. They'll mm-hmm. call me and, "Hey, you know, I think I have to go to the doctor. This and this and this is happening. What do you think?" You know, and they need that reassurance that it's okay, that there's nothing wrong with them, you know, that it's not going to be anything, although maybe embarrassing for them at that moment. But I think it gives them that they need that okay. And I think just like we learned in elementary school or in middle school, you know, about becoming an adolescent. We all know that video.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same thing.
You know, Louie, too, the fact of where she works. Mm-hmm. You come home and you talk about your work. And for Diane to go home and say, "Today, I had a 17-year-old mm-hmm. come into the office with this kind of cancer," or somebody passed who was only 20, mm-hmm. or someone presented with a very late stage cancer. Mm-hmm. I think that is an appropriate window to open up conversation with people to say, you know, if you'd have presented at stage one, if you hadn't delayed, you'd have a completely different scenario at this time. So I think that also has a lot to do with it. You know, coming home and talking about what you did at work.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes in some of the old movies, not old movies, but The Shootist, when John Wayne has cancer, they would refer to it as the cancer. My grandma has the cancer.
The cancer,
or,
yes.
Jimmy Stewart tells John Wayne, "You have a cancer." Mm-hmm. And it seems like back then you didn't talk about cancer because cancer was a dirty word. It was a bad word. It was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to this day, I think that's why some people will not want to go get checked, because they think, if I have cancer, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly is mm-hmm. not the case anymore. We are personal witnesses that there are more people surviving, living through and beyond cancer than ever before. The death tolls are down for cancer counts. There are people who are, they're finding more cancers earlier because of new diagnostic things. I mean, they've got all kinds of treatments, too, that are so much less toxic than they used to be. You know, you commented earlier on two things I wanted to add to. I picked up a 50th anniversary Life magazine many years ago, and it was just ripe with beautiful pictures and a 50-year anniversary of Life. Remember that great magazine? There was an article in there that was teaching women how to smoke like Betty Davis. Now, that was every young man, like my father, who went into the service. He didn't go in smoking. He came out smoking. Smoke him if you got him, sailor. You know, that kind of thing. And so I think, again, now, we fast forward on the movies. You're right. It was not mentioned. But you look at movies now, sometimes it's really annoying to go to the movies because every time you go, right, Diane, somebody in the movie's got cancer. And I'm like, you know what? I do this all week long. I don't want to go here. I want to go see Harry Potter. So, but it's true that the messaging from before was so much more guarded because cancer was indeed a death sentence. There was, they didn't have the science behind it. There wasn't the technology. There wasn't the understanding of it. But we've come a long way in a very short time. And so I do think that young people, like we talk about, I know a lot of the kids in my circle have read The Fault in Their Stars, which is about a young couple with cancer. There was a movie with Joseph Levitt Gordon where he's got cancer and he's in his 20s. So I don't believe that the messaging that's out there directed at young people like HPV, vaping, smoking, it's out there. I do believe that the problem is, I know when I was a teenager and a young person, I was 10 foot tall, bulletproof, invincible, you know, nothing could touch you. It's that mentality of the young. And I think therein is our challenge as a community, is to do what you can, to have conversations around your dinner table with the young people in your life and explain to them that, you know, this is a product of life. Cancer, if you live long enough, is going to affect everybody in some way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it, is conversations erase fear. And I think maybe what Diana's done with her young, or with her family, they're not so young, are they? Those guys are getting older. Yeah. Really is helpful.
We are visiting with Diane Medina and Patty Chiscareño with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. We're talking about what the foundation does and, of course, some of the things that we are faced with every day. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we think of October as breast cancer awareness. But as Patty mentioned earlier, every day and every month has to do with something with, not that we celebrate a certain month, but we want to make you aware. Mm-hmm. And Patty and Diane, you both mentioned a little while ago about men's different things that we have to check for. And I know as a man, a lot of times when the doctor says, you need to go get a colonoscopy, or you know, we need to check your prostate, and you're going, no, I don't need that. I'm mm-hmm. fine. And we just think, I don't know if it's fear or pride or both, because it's like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we see it all the time. As I mentioned, you know, breast cancer is one of the ones that is the highest right now. And from what I've seen and what I do and what we help the people with our program. But you're seeing prostate cancer climbing the charts. I mean, 1 in 9 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer, 1 in 15 with colorectal cancer. So, I mean, these are things that, and it's like Patty said, it may just be a man's fear, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to know what's wrong with them. They rather just be blinded from it. I don't want to know. They feel safer that way. I really don't know what it is. It might be like a machismo thing, you know, but you see it more and more often. But a lot of times these men go to the doctors because their wives make them go.
This is true.
You know, they go with them to the doctor's visits every single time. This is what you're going to ask. I've done it before where the man's there and they're not telling the doctor what's going on. And I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. You forgot to mention this and this mm-hmm. and this and this. You know, but you see it more and more often.
And Diane hit a good point there. We want to make sure that people are aware that the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation is here to help with many, many things. We have so many programs. But one of the things that's helpful is we have a new portal. And we're all used to portals now. We all have our doctor's offices where you log into portals. But there's very little printed information anymore. Everything is online, and it's very hard to mire yourself through all that muck. So our portal, which is called cancerhelpcenter.org, it is a free resource for you to download things, to get things printed in the mail, however you prefer to receive your information. And one of the things, Louie, is 10 questions to ask your doctor when you've been diagnosed. Because like anything else, if I don't need to know about engineering, I'm not going to seek that out. If I don't need to know about cancer, I'm not going to be looking out for what questions do I ask the doc. It's really a brand new experience. When you are diagnosed with cancer, it is the intelligence, the college degree, all of those things really get minimized. All of a sudden, you are somebody who's sick, and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this over and over again with, you know, people you can say are overly educated and smart and know everything. What do I do? What's my first step? So the portal, the cancerhelpcenter.org, you can go on, you can download all kinds of stuff. We'll send you this wonderful little book that's called My Cancer Companion. It's a repository for your information. Where's your next appointment? What medications do you need to talk to your doc about? But just a myriad of things, as mundane as what to pack in your bag when you're going for your chemo treatment, because you're there for 3 hours. You know, if you're in radiation, you're there 5 days a week. So what do I take? What should I be prepared for? So we invite your listeners to visit our website, which is the initials rgcf.org for Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. There's just a myriad of things that you can request. You can come into our offices at 616 North Virginia. We're downtown on the corner of Wyoming and Virginia. Big pink flag flying out there right now. But every month we put up a different color flag. So when you see the flag, it's honoring or acknowledging that this cancer of the month for leukemia or for oral cancers or whatever it might be is flying in tribute to you.
And you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that too, because we see different pins that people wear for different types of cancer. And the paper that you brought for us today, I didn't realize that there were so many colors and for all the different types of cancers.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting. For many, many years, the local races and the attention was all breast cancer. And people would come to a race and say, well, can I walk in this walk? Because I'm not a breast cancer. I had lung cancer or I had this kind. And all colors matter, you know, all the colors of cancer. And so we don't do a race anymore. So many things have gone by the wayside due to the changes in our world. But people would come out and celebrate their color proudly, wearing the teal for ovarian or the purple or burgundy for multiple myeloma. All battles are as unique and individual as the person themselves.
Sometimes, depending on, you know, what the doctor says, what your oncologist says, or even some of the clinics here, they might say, well, you know what, you may have to go to the Mayo Clinic or to MD Anderson. And sometimes that is just so hard for someone because they go, there's no way we can afford that. We can't do that.
Right.
But you all have different programs to help out people, correct?
Yes, we do. We have our Patient Assistance and Transportation Services program, which is known as our PATS program. And what that is we are able to give that cancer patient a Visa gift card in the amount of $250. That $250 they can use towards their travels. So it could be airfare, bus fare, it could be gasoline if they're going to, you know, drive out there. It can be used for lodging, like, you know, hotel, anything that has to do with their cancer to get out there. And they're able to get the assistance twice a year. So that's up to $500 a year per patron, up to 3 years. Okay, so we try our best to accommodate as long as the funding is available. And as Patty mentioned, you know, they can go onto our portal and request information if they can't come in, or somebody can just, they can schedule even just a phone call to get information. We can email them information, or we can send it by mail. So there is the resources out there in our financial program. They can also use it here locally. So it's not just for transportation. So they can use it for transportation here locally as well. So a lot of people, as Patty mentioned, you know, they have to go to radiation 5 days a week. But, you know, that's a lot of gas. Or they don't have a ride. They don't drive. So we allow them to use it for either taxis or Ubers or bus fare to get back and forth.
Even co-pays, Diane, right?
Yes.
And medications.
Yes.
And, you know, Louie, Ensure is a product that I'm sure our listeners are familiar with, and it is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are so delighted this year. We received a grant from Albertsons, a wonderful community partner in El Paso, and it's part of their Nourishing Neighbors program. One thing that what happens is they gave us a grant, and we provide to each one of the patrons that comes through our program a $100 gift card for groceries. So they are able to buy that insurer, pick up the Pepto-Bismol. There are so many things that cost and are not covered under Medicare. One of our other programs, which is called our Four Seasons program, it's wigs, bras, hats, scarves, mastectomy garments, lymphedema sleeves, and all of the above is all not covered under Medicare. And if you look at a prosthetic, if you have lost a breast and need a prosthetic, the bra itself is expensive and you can't find them anyplace because they're specialty. The prosthetic itself is about $300. A lymphedema garment, and for your listeners, lymphedema is a condition that could arise if lymph nodes are removed during surgery and it interferes with the lymphatic drainage system. So you might see people with bands on their arms. Some of them are really kind of cool. You know, they look tattooed, but that is a service that we offer. We pay for those sleeves. We work with Total Orthotics, with Paloma Wellness. We work with a lot of people that help us provide these at discounted or low or no cost to our patients.
And how do people go about applying for that,
Diane?
For whether it be some of these garments like Patty just mentioned, Four Seasons. Do they need to go see you first, download something?
Well, right now, everything is done through, since COVID, everything has been, it's being taken care of through appointment only. So it's best that they give us a call and let us know what their needs are specifically, and then we would make them up an appointment. If it's for a financial assistance program, then at that point, we can just take their application over the phone. And then we'll go ahead and we get in contact with their oncologist or radiologist, and we take care of all that, and we let them know when we can schedule an appointment for them to pick up their Visa cards when it's ready, such thing. If it's for like a wig and a prosthetic fitting or bra fitting, they just have to give us a call and we'll make an appointment for them.
One of the things that we haven't discussed or touched upon is what about the children or the spouse? Because I know when my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2012, it was horrible. I didn't know what to do. And then I go to MD Anderson and I was scared because I see such a big place. And it's just, and you need somebody to talk to. I know I did.
Yeah. You know, I'll be very honest with you, Louis. Right now, the concept of support groups is so difficult. We had a very robust classroom series that went on pre-COVID. It was virtually eradicated during COVID because people do not want to Zoom and talk about their issues. Support groups are about one-on-one. They're about nurturing each other, about sharing your experiences, and that does not translate on Zoom. So right now, we are working back again with support groups, getting things rolling again, classrooms, et cetera. But you know what? Until this COVID is in our rearview mirror, we're going to be struggling with that issue. However, I always encourage, if any of your listeners have any questions about what to do, where to go, give us a call.
And what's that number?
915. It's 562-7660.
And what is the web address?
rgcf.org.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Louis, for having us.
We've been visiting with Patty Tiscareño and Diane Medina with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. Again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Louis.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sainz.